Well, hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. Steve, we're back. We're back with a winner.
Oh, we're back, Dave. What a difference a week makes. I mean, the Sony Open was a test of character, wasn't it? But we got back on the saddle, dusted ourselves down, and delighted to get the first winner of the year.
Not just the winner. I think we only put two players up, the winner, and we filled a place as well.
That's it. No, Laurie Canter played superbly, hit his ball superbly all week. I've got the hat on. I've got the Emirates hat on. It was at Emirates last week. Frankie Burton, who's one of our most loyal Sweet Spot viewers, was demanding some headwear because Tyrrell Hatton. So I've got the hat on in tribute to Tyrrell Hatton. It's a very appropriate one. Yes, it's a signed by Rory McIlroy, actually, who won his first DP World Tour title at the Emirates in 2009. So I'll keep the headwear on for as long as it is. A bit itchy, actually. It hasn't been worn for a while, so I'll keep it on for
the
long as possible.
You jumped the gun a bit there, because I was going to spin through. I know you love to hear from people who have followed you in. So I'll spin through some of the comments that we got in. Great week, Steve. Excellent start to the year. That was from NCFC. Great tipping, Steve, was on both of them. Thanks. That was from Pete Rogers. Luke Harris, well done, Steve. Never in doubt. Get your hat on. Andy Turner, just the two selections, Hatton and Canter. Very profitable tournament. Impressive. This one's from Mark Lewis. Nearly got the full cast. If I wore a hat, I would take it off to you. Susan Peterson, excellent tipping, Steve. She's happy as well. We've also got Frankie Burton. Well done. I want to see you wearing an elaborate hat tomorrow. So you've got the hat on, but it's not a very elaborate one.
It's pretty elaborate.
He says, I feel like Zalatoris might be on the radar for the ball striking tournaments coming up, particularly Riv and the Honda. Quick response to that?
We shall see. I mean, the dual forecast chat I found very amusing because they didn't actually go down to that on the list of dual forecast options because obviously Laurie Canter was such a big price. They stop at a certain level. So I wasn't kicking myself on that. I didn't have the dual forecast and it didn't happen in the end, but it wasn't really possible. Maybe we'll have a dual forecast this week.
Well, there's a couple more. Brett Upton, 773. He was on Hatton. Dugrow. Another winner for the best in the game, tickety-boo. And Giles Moore says, first of the year, banged in. Great stuff, Steve. Off and running. Obviously, take that back. Everything I've ever said about the amiable Mr. Hatton. So there you go. He's an angry man, but he can play some golf, right?
Well, that's it. I mean, when you're on him and he does the business for you, you don't mind all the histrionics, do you? He does have an unbelievable ability to behave like that and then shrug it off pretty quickly. Whereas I think you and I, if we have a sort of hissy fit, then it can linger. He seems to be good at getting it all out of his system and then going back to focus. So we've all got our foibles. We've all got our ways of playing golf and behaving in life. Tyrrell Hatton is not going to get any criticism from me on this podcast.
There was a funny headline from the BBC, I think it was, after the third round. And it was like, Tyrrell Hatton still in contention after smashing up a tee box. And then there was just a picture of it. And that was, I was thinking, I'm sure there's more going on in this golf tournament than, you know, one of the players in contention having let loose on a tee box. But listen, he was very calm afterwards when asked about it.
He only tapped it. Yeah, he only tapped it, really. I mean, it's just clickbait, isn't it? It's all about clickbait these days. They do, even the BBC are getting involved in that. Anything you can find that will attract eyes on it and they'll press the button. They don't even care whether you read it as long as you click the button. Tyrrell Hatton's good for clickbait. But, he's a world-class player, isn't he? He hasn't really got any weaknesses and doesn't really do anything badly. I say his iron play is his main strength. His iron play last week, so consistent, didn't hold any putts in round one, didn't hold any putts in round four, but it didn't matter because he was so solid on approach. He's top of the Ryder Cup rankings now, Dave. It was a massive week for Luke Donald, really, because Europeans won both main events. And, Tyrrell Hatton looking good for automatic qualification now. If you'd spoken to me on Thursday, the finish of Tyrrell Hatton on Thursday really put the willies up me because he finished double bogey bogey on Thursday. He found a bush off the tee at the eighth hole. He started on the 10th and he one of his shots went from bush to bush. So from four under par, he finished one under par. And I was thinking, oh, blimey, if Tyrrell Hatton feels as bad as I do now, he's going to struggle to recover from this. But on Friday, 65. And from there, he just never looked, he looked the likely winner for a long way out, didn't he? You must have been enjoying it, Dave.
I was, yeah. Well, I texted you, didn't I, as well? And I think he just, aside all the temperament kind of thing, just when the big money, the big dough, the big cheese, the cheddar's up for grabs, he arrives, doesn't he?
The cheddar. You've got some great rhyme and slang for it. Well, that's not a rhyme and slang, but what was it last week? The Benjamins and the
yeah,
cheddar.
That's it, yeah. But he, listen, I'd like to be a pound behind him because all these events that he's won have carried huge, huge purses.
Absolutely. It must be so much fun in your neck of the woods as you're all necking your jelly deals and using all these code words. I don't get as much fun as you, Dave. But Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, yeah, just a quality golfer. I was guilty of underrating him in the past. I think there's two players I've underrated more than any other in the past. It was Justin Rose. When Justin Rose first came onto the scene, we're talking millions of years ago, I wasn't convinced by him. And Tyrrell Hatton was the same. It took me a while to realise how good he is, but he's certainly one of the best Europeans in the world. And, maybe this year he'll actually challenge in some majors because his majors record really disappointing for a player with his ability. Maybe we'll see him challenge for a major or two this year.
And what about yourself, Steve? Were you able to bask in the glory? How did you celebrate?
I won't be challenging for a major or two. How did I celebrate? Oh, it was an intense finish, actually, because, we say he looked like likely winner all weekend, but still on the final hole, there was a lot of twitchy bums, weren't there, on the final hole?
I don't know how
your bum was performing, Dave, but that final hole and my whole family. Yeah, this is the problem I have is mixing my professional life with my family life. And every member of my family, including my dog, was in the lounge when that 18th hole was being played on Sunday. And I thought, Blimeneck, here we go again, because Daniel Hillier got a very fortunate drop on the 72nd hole. I thought it was like Nick Taylor revisited, because obviously the Sony Open, Nick Taylor on the 72nd hole got that very fortunate drop, and Hillier hit a terrible approach shot, and then he was behind the bunker, and then suddenly moved down all the way down here. So he's got a direct look at the flag. The bunker wasn't involved anymore. So, yeah, he did his best chip of the day. Now, chipping is a weakness of Daniel Hillier. He did his best chip of the day on that 72nd hole, made the birdie to force Hatton to hold that par putt for the win. It wasn't so much a celebration, it was just great relief, Dave.
I hope there was more than a ripple of applause in the living room. I hope there was cups of tea going everywhere and all sorts going on.
Well, Coco woofed to show her appreciation. The family were very relieved that Dad was going to be in high spirits for the rest of Sunday. But thank goodness Tyrrell Hatton held that par putt. That was gutsy, wasn't it? Very gutsy.
Very. Yeah. Well, listen, he's a proven winner. We talk about players that can be flaky, and there's some players that sprint to the finish line. Some players stumble over it, and some run away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the worst thing about that family situation was that my daughter said I looked like Tyrrell Hatton. I thought that was a bit of a strange comment. But
I'm not buying that.
I mean, I know I can get a bit beardy occasionally, and Tyrrell likes a big beard. I don't mind looking like Tyrrell Hatton. I wouldn't mind having his bank balance, and I wouldn't mind being Tyrrell Hatton. But everyone was happy, and Laurie Cantor, we got to be happy with him as well. Yeah. He did his job for us again. If you rewind to Thursday, I was actually howling abuse at his caddy from a million miles from Dubai, because on the fifth hole in round one, Cantor started superbly. But on the fifth hole of round one, he drove straight down the middle into the water. Basically, that fifth hole at Dubai is very strange. It's shaped so that the water hazard is straight down the middle. So you've just got to lay up short of the water hazard. He's taken driver and pumped his drive, like an amazing drive, and it's gone straight in the water. So he shouldn't have been taking driver off that tee. I mean, fine margins. He only lost the tournament by two shots in the end. He'll probably be looking back on that fifth hole on Thursday with a bit of regret, but he hit the ball magnificently all week, Laurie Cantor. Didn't hold any putts of any note, and it's quite awkward for David Howell, because he was one of the Sky Sports commentators. He's Laurie Cantor's putting coach. So every time David Howell's commenting on Laurie Cantor's putting, it wasn't going well. I mean, he hit the ball easily good enough to win that tournament. probably the most consistent ball striker on display last week, but just didn't hole enough putts. Yeah, he's definitely a quality player that we need to keep on side.
Well, listen, punting and tipping on golf is hard, Steve, and you've put two up, only two, and you've had the winner and you filled a place. So enjoy. We will celebrate. We've kind of gone a little bit off pace. We were going to get to that event. We'll touch on it again. But you are, of course, here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We've got the sweet spot for you on a Tuesday, off the leash on a Wednesday, the assist on a Thursday. There's all sorts of horse racing content for you to get stuck into as well. So do remember to like, comment and subscribe. And do comment below if you followed in, Steve, who you fancying this week. Were you enjoying it in the living room with the family like Steve was? Where was you when you were watching The Angry Man get the job done? Right, we'll start then with Tyrrell Hatton and that. We've mentioned Laurie Cantor. He was two shots behind. We had a few players 12 under as well. The winning score was 15 under. What did you make of the tournament itself, Steve?
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. And in that comment section, if anyone wants to make me an offer for my signed Rory McIlroy Emirates hat from his first DP World Tour victory, then put an offer in. Obviously, I've just had a winner, so it needs to be a very high offer to attract my attention. But if times get hard again, then I may sell it. I thought it was a great tournament. I think Daniel Hillier is probably the man we need to concentrate on now, because 200 to 1 he went off last week, and I think you're struggling to get 201 again. You know, I did consider him last week because he's a fantastic driver, as he displayed all last week. The Emirates is a driver's track, but he's got some short game issues. His chipping is not great. He's 26 years of age, a New Zealander. I think if he can just smarten up his chipping, I think we've got a really top class player on our hands here. Thought he showed some good mettle on that 72nd hole to get up and down from that position. Keep Hillier on your mind. He's better than a 200 to 1 chance in that sort of grade. And he's already won, of course. He won the British Masters from off the pace last year. So different vibe going out in the final group with the lead and couldn't quite handle it. But it'll come on for that run, I'm sure.
Any other takeaways? Some of the big names so in and around the leaderboard as well.
Well, yeah, Rory McIlroy did what we hoped he'd do. He made a slow start. You know, the Christmas cobwebs took a couple of rounds to blow away. But over the weekend, rounds of 69, 66, it's amazing how McIlroy has this knack of, you know, being miles off the pace and then, you know, he'll place for you. So any each way backers last week were fine with what happened. Rory McIlroy, that was a nice start to the year for him. I think he's going to have a great 2025. John Rahm and Victor Hovland, you can be less certain about. You know, John Rahm missed the cut by two shots. Course debut, as we were discussing last week, very, very rusty. And Victor Hovland, of course, broke his pinky in Hawaii and missed the cut by four shots last week. So, yeah, Victor Hovland fans, again, really concerned. He looks all over the place. And the livers. Yeah, we mentioned how many livers were playing last week. So many of them missed the cut. You know, Rahm, Thomas Peters, Adrian Moronk, Dean Burmester. So, if you're a billionaire, a live billionaire, where's your sort of passion for practicing over Christmas? We talked about how you like to let your hair down over Christmas. If you were a billionaire liver, you wouldn't touch a club, I guess.
Well, Rahm was the one player I wanted to ask you about. I mean, he's a difficult player to rate and place at the moment. Like, what sort of 2025 are we going to see from John Rahm?
Well, he hadn't played since October, so I suppose we need to forgive him. He would have been loaded with Christmas rust and making his course debut. So there were excuses. I mean, he went off a terribly short price last week. We just have to monitor him. But he's not playing enough golf, is he? Because he's another one like Hatton who's appealing the ban, the DP World Tour ban, but he's not playing as much as Hatton. We shall see. I think everyone wants John Rahm on the European Ryder Cup team.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you.
He's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to impress in majors. I mean, obviously, he's got the exemptions for majors because he's won two of them. I wouldn't get overly concerned. Yeah, I think John Rahm will be on that European Ryder Cup team.
Should we move on?
Yes, sir.
Let's move on to the American Express one by Sepp Straka, Austria's finest. 25 under. Justin Thomas, two shots back as well. Another good show from JT, 23 under them. And Jason Day, as well in the frame. Where's Jason Day been, Steve?
Yeah. No, that's right. No, and Charlie Hoffman came out of nowhere to remind us he still has some ability. Stracker, a 60-1 winner. He's a sweet spot regular, but I didn't have him on my mind for last week because I didn't think he'd putt well enough to win this. You mentioned that you thought it was a putting contest. We spoke about how easy these Amex courses are, but the stadium course played a lot tougher than normal last week. They've toughened it up. They toughened it up with much firmer greens. They didn't put much water on the greens. So 25 under par was enough to win. Stracker's become a three-time PGA Tour champion now at the age of 31. And great start to life as a skinhead, Dave. I don't know if you were following that story. He noticed that he was going a bit thin on top. So he decided his reaction to this wasn't to, get a hair transplant or whatever. His reaction to this was to just get ahead of the game and shave it all off. So he went full skinhead for the first time last week and, seemed to like it. I think Stracker will win tournaments going forward. Yeah, lovely swing, lovely ball striker.
Are there any events in Turkey on the tour?
there was a European tour event in Turkey. Yeah, they don't stage it anymore. What's the significance of that? You lost me, Dave.
No, well, that's where he'd be going, wouldn't he? If he was going to get a hair transplant, that's just where you go, to Turkey.
Oh, is that where you go, is it? Oh, it sounds like you looked into it, Dave. You got your vouchers ready. Have you got them for Christmas?
No, I'm all right, to be fair. We're all right. It's a bit grey, but we're all right. I don't have to hide mine under a hat. Let's put it that way.
But, no, this is for your Frankie Burtons. I have had a haircut. Not a very successful one, but no. Justin Thomas. Do you want to talk about Justin Thomas?
Yes, I do, because I feel like this is a player that I'm going to be back in the coming weeks, and I think he's going to be winning tournaments.
Well, we were very tempted last week, but again, we were wondering whether we could putt well enough to reach the super low total that was needed. 25 under par was surprisingly low for me. I thought they'd do better than that. But as I say, stadium course playing a little bit more difficult. Stracker and Thomas putted better than they normally do last week. And Thomas recovered from a really poor finish to round three. I woke up on Sunday and I was umming and ahhing over my dual forecast. I like a dual forecast, particularly on a Sunday. And I thought Stracker would win, but I thought it'd be between Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay for second place. And if you look at the contrasting finishes to their third round, I just got suckered into thinking that Cantlay would approach round four with more confidence, because Thomas was rubbish at the end of round three, but then exceptional at the start of round four. And it was the opposite for Patrick Cantlay. We should have had the Stracker-Thomas dual forecast. But Patrick Cantlay, serious questions to answer for him now. Hasn't won since August 2022, Dave. And he had a great chance on Sunday. The leaderboard was set up lovely. If Stracker wobbled, then Cantlay could take over. But as I say, really poor from the gates. Finished better and ended up finished tied fifth. But Cantlay, when's Cantlay going to win again? He was getting on.
Where was his last win? Did you say
August 2022? August 2022. Wow. And for an elite
player. And at the time, he would have been top three golfers in the world? Top four, yeah, top five?
Absolutely. He's always been elite and he still is elite. Yeah. But he squanders winning chances now. He's actually playing in TGL tonight, the indoor golf. I know you like to stay up late and watch that.
See Tiger Woods' entrance? Just quickly, did you see? I mean, he was terrible. Although there was question marks over the simulator, because I think he hit a wedge like that went 20 yards past the hole, which he's probably never done in his life. But his walk-on was like the WWE. It was incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And the team was rubbish. And the as you say, the questions are being asked about the technology. Now, this is why I don't bet on it and I don't encourage people to bet.
I've not looked for markets.
No, there is betting on it. There is betting on it. I had a small speculative play on Jupiter Links, funnily enough, to win the whole thing, because they were the outsiders of the party. And I thought, Tiger Woods is the key to keeping the ratings up. There's a bit of skullduggery going through my mind that... but it's just, there's no way I'm going to be having a bet on the individual contests, because as you say, there's questions over the simulator. It's not just Tiger Woods. There's a few players that have hit shots. They're absolutely stunned by the result. It's all just exhibition stuff, isn't it? And I really don't fancy having a bet on that. But Patrick Cantlay and Justin Thomas are playing tonight together in the same team. They play for Atlanta Drive Golf Club. We'll see.
The stuff in and around the green, though. I think there's something in that. If you lose the simulator, just the stuff indoors around the green, there's something in there. It's
just entertainment, isn't it? You're basically just buying a ticket for the cinema and go and watch it. You know, you're not going to bet on Sonic the Hedgehog 3, are you? So don't bet on that. That would be my advice.
Well, anything else to add then from the American Express, Steve? Is Straka the greatest Austrian to ever swing a golf club?
He probably is, actually. He's certainly Austria's number one. He is. I mean, if you want to add anything, Carson Young. I mean, I was getting quite hopeful about Carson Young after two rounds. He was in prime position because he played well at a difficult track, but he finished 29th, faded away. So, yeah, the Amex was a big disappointment. Dubai couldn't have gone much better. Couldn't have gone any better, really, but Amex disappointment. But we'll get it right this week with a Wednesday start, Dave. Sound the klaxon. Sound the klaxon.
Right, well we're finishing looking back. Let's look forward then. And as you rightly mentioned, the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Iconic. We've just spoke about Tiger Woods. Torrey Pines, there's no other player you can think of. I think he's a seven-time winner at Torrey Pines. It is his track. Wednesday start, right? What sort of time?
5 p.m.-ish. Yeah. Maybe 4:50 p.m. if they repeat what they did last year. So, yeah, the Farmers Insurance Open, the PGA Tour event this week, starts on Wednesday. We're coming out at, we record this at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. It comes out at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, doesn't it? It takes 9 hours for them to edit all of your cursing, Dave.
Well, it took Ben, the producer, 15 minutes to turn up. So.
Well, no. It's to allow Racing Post Members Club to get the tips first at 2 p.m. Sign up for Racing Post Members Club, get the tips at 2 p.m. But this comes out at 7 p.m. So we still have plenty of time to get bets on for 5 p.m. Wednesday.
Okay, right. I mentioned Torrey Pines, iconic. Talk to us about the track.
Yes, we've got two courses this week, of course. Torrey Pines South and Torrey Pines North. Both in San Diego, California. Three rounds are played on the south, just one on the north. The south is 7,765 yards. The north is 7,258 yards. Both par 72s. The Farmers has always been hosted here. We've also had two US Opens at Torrey Pines South, 2008-2021. 2008 won by Tiger Woods. John Rahm won in 2021. He was threatening to become the new king of Torrey Pines, taking over from Tiger Woods, but not allowed to play in the Farmers these days, of course, because he's a liver. The South is a severe test, small undulating Poana greens. The North, much shorter, much easier. We've got sunny, calm and pleasant weather for the first 3 days, but cloudy, cool and breezy for the final round on Saturday. A field of 156 going to post.
And give us a key attribute.
Key attribute with Torrey Pines South, you must golf your ball well. You must, ball striking is the key to success at Torrey Pines South. The North course, as I say, is you must make a decent score on the North course to, a survival test is Torrey Pines South.
Right, let's have a look at the show then. It's 10s the field. Ludwig Ober, 10-1. Matsuyama, 12s. Sonjay Im, 18s. Zalatoris, 22s. And bigger prices, the rest. Reminder that it all kicks off on Wednesday through to Saturday, the Farmers Insurance. So don't be late. If you're getting your doubles on, get them on early. If you're just playing this event, get on early. How many in the team, Steve?
Three selections.
One winner. We'll go for the first three arm this week. Eh? Why not? Okay, right. Yeah. Who's the main selection then for the Farmers?
Ludwig Ober. Always be aware of Ludwig Ober. And particularly this week is Ludwig time. Torrey Pines South, the sort of track where ball striking class is the key to success. Ludwig Ober is the best ball striker in the world, other than Scotty Scheffler. That's a big claim. I was getting carried away there. I always get carried away when I'm talking about Ludwig Ober. But as I say, it's a test of survival. There's a lot of players that won't be able to handle it this week. Not a lot of players can handle Torrey Pines South from tee to green. It's a long, punishing track. Ober relishes it. On his Farmers debut 12 months ago, he hit his ball in typically majestic fashion, badly struggled on the greens, obviously seeing them for the first time on his Farmers debut. He actually had a four-putt, Dave, on one hole. He three-putted from 3 feet as he was adjusting to these new dance floors. He was putting for eagle on that hole and ended up carding a bogey. Still finished in ninth place on his debut. Four rounds of par or better. He was world number 29 coming into that event. Tees up this week as world number 6. Aubert has played in three previous PGA Tour events in California. Form figures of 9-2-19. He had knee surgery at the end of last year, of course. Returned to competition in the RSM Classic at the end of November. 73, rusty start. 64, 71, 64, 17th place. So first tournament for almost 3 months, Dave. And he carded a pair of 64s on his return. Then he was sixth on his Hero World Challenge debut. Then he was fifth in the Century last time out before starring on his TGL debut. Did you watch that one? Ludwig Aubert was brilliant on his TGL debut, for what it's worth. He's primed for a massive 2025. I think his first trophy of the year comes on Saturday in what is a really poor Farmers Insurance Open. We must mention, you know, Xander Schauffele is not playing. Colin Morikawa is not playing. Yeah, the field is full of chaff, Dave. Ludwig Aubert is a lovely piece of wheat in amongst all that chaff.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Right, yeah, I was going to ask you, Steve. Obviously, I didn't know you was putting him up, but it's not the deepest field. And
no.
You've tipped him. At what price would he have been too short for you to tip him?
Oh, blimey. Yeah. No, I was excited. When Double Figures was out there, I was really excited. I think he's settling in the market at 9-1. I think, honestly, there's so much chaff in this field. There's certain players are not in this field that are not fit to serve Ludwig Aubert a bacon roll. I don't know where that came from. But I was just trying to make the point that there's certain players that are just, there's some rubbish golfers in this field. You know, obviously, I'm a rubbish golfer. It sounds crazy for me to be able to say that about certain players, but there's so many players in the field I give no chance to. You know, it should be 10,000-1. And yet Ludwig Aubert, for me, you know, will probably settle as world number two or three very quickly. You know, it's world number six and rising for me. You know, I don't see Ludwig Aubert going backwards from his current position of world number six. I think he's going to get better and better and better. He's getting more experience with all these courses. So, yeah, I would say half of that price, Dave. 5-1 would still interest me in Ludwig Aubert this week. I think he's a stonking bet.
Well, he is the main pick then, Ludwig Aubert. It'd be good to see him back in the winner's enclosure. Right, there's two more players then. Who else have you got for us, Steve?
Next best is Will Zalatoris, 22-1, who almost won this tournament for us in 2022. 3 years later, just starting to get over that playoff loss to Luke List. He was so close to winning it, Dave. Look it up on the YouTube. Would have been an emotional victory for Will Zalatoris. He's born in San Francisco, so home state gig this one. He was a PGA Tour maiden when he nearly won that 3 years ago. He was seventh in the 2021 Farmers. He was 13th in the last Farmers. I feel he's going to be even more dangerous for this one because he's beefed up, Dave. You know, Will Zalatoris has piled on the muscle. The cow population in Texas, where he now resides, is dwindling because Will Zalatoris is eating steaks for breakfast, lunch and dinner. He's eating 4,500 calories a day, wow. 200 grams of protein, just determined to add bulk because he's looking to make his body stronger and more stable because he's been injury prone as Will Zalatoris. Had loads of injury problems in such a short career. Now he's fitter than ever. It's working. You have a look at him. He turned up for the Nedbank Challenge in South Africa at the end of last year. He looked like the Incredible Hulk there. I think the rest of the PGA Tour should be frightened of Will Zalatoris. He's got a great record in California generally, been runner-up at Riviera, been runner-up in this, runner-up in Riviera. I think a second PGA Tour title could be coming on Saturday. I think the two main dangers to Ludwig Aubert are Will Zalatoris and Hideki Matsuyama. Zalatoris, double the price of Hideki Matsuyama, so yeah, must-bet material for me. Zalatoris this year, 26th in the Century, despite accidentally playing the wrong ball for his third shot on the 15th hole of round four. Him and Cam Davis got muddled up, realised their blunder when they got to the green. So that was a two-shot penalty. So Zalatoris would have finished 15th in the Century without all that drama. He finished 12th last week in the American Express, ideal warm-up spin in California. So, yeah, he's the one player that could get close to Ludwig Aubert this week.
Nice. And we had a shout out for him, of course, on the in the YouTube comments as well. So
yes,
you're not alone. You're not alone. You mentioned List. It was remiss of me to maybe list a few of the recent winners. Pavon, Homer, List, Reed, and Leishman. That's a real mixed bag of tricks there amongst the previous winners, Steve.
Yeah, historically, this course, driving distance has been a big factor. You know, the Honours Board at Torrey Pines is filled with powerhouses. More recently, we've seen, Matthew Pavon was a shot winner last year. He doesn't fit into that category. Accurate approach play is perhaps the key stat now. Distance is also of huge benefit on this Torrey Pines South.
Okay, right. We've got one more player to come. I'm hoping it's going to be a nice big price. What you got for us?
I've got your 35-1 there. We've got some big prices in the other event, but this is a three-pronged attack of really solid options. And it's Taylor Pendrith, who's got the game to survive at Torrey Pines South. He's one of the longest drivers on the PGA Tour. As I say, has a significant weapon on the South course. So long, the rough is juicy. Pendrith can hack his way through it. He showed a liking for Torrey Pines on his Farmers debut in 2022. He was world number 247 at the time, PGA Tour rookie. He'd started the year with two missed cuts, but he finished 16th in the Farmers. Last year, he bettered that. He finished 9th alongside Ludwig Aubert. Again, he had missed the cut in his previous event. Again, he teed up as a PGA Tour maiden. This time, it's all so different for Taylor Pendrith. He started the year in really solid fashion, 13th on his century debut, 45th in the Sony on an unsuitable layout, four rounds in the 60s. And he's a PGA Tour champion now because he won the CJ Cup in May. He's not missed a cut in a non-major event since then. Regularly impressive. So, yeah, I think only a madman goes into battle without Taylor Pendrith on their side this week, Dave. I'm not a madman.
That's up for debate. listen, a real strong team. So you're making a good case for all three. I think I'll be back in Ludwig win only. I'm very strong in him myself this week. What about some of the other big names on the top of the market? Matsuyama second in?
Yeah, we'll be praying. We'll be praying for a slow start from Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, obviously, he's so impressive in the century, decent in the Sony, good record at Torrey Pines. He was third in 2019, I believe. I fear Matsuyama. I prefer Ludwig Aubert. And I think that the each-way money is good for Zalatoris and Pendrith.
Was anyone else on the radar before we move on?
No, I don't think so, Dave. I dropped a cup of tea over my notes before we came on this broadcast. So there's tea stains on my notes. But no, I don't think there was. No, absolutely not, mate. Absolutely not. Just the four names. And obviously, I can't have Aubert and Matsuyama. And I prefer Aubert.
Okay, the big dog off the front then. We like Ludwig, who is the favourite. Right, let's move on then. We are off to the United Arab Emirates for the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. You like that, Steve? You happy with that pronunciation?
So impressed with that. Yeah, you've done some research on the pronunciation.
Well, listen, here in Essex, I think it's the Ras Al Khaimah. So I'm not sure that one's going to wash. So there we go. Cayman. We're in Dubai.
Kelly Cayman's down there. Yeah.
Look, we're looking at drivable par fours here, wide fairways. I was looking at this and just thinking, open your shoulders and just let loose, right? Is that what we're looking at here? What sort of course are we approaching here?
I love it when you do some research, Dave. You're just almost so wrapped up in your greyhounds that you don't have time. But no, I'm very, very impressed. Sorry about Crayford, by the way. I mean, blimey.
Yes, yeah, it's just all involved there, yeah.
Only one dog track in London now. That's absolutely outrageous.
That's the one inside the M25, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that breaks my heart in two, but don't let me get started on that. We're Ras Al Khaimah, well, whatever you want to pronounce it, Championship, Alhambra Golf Club, United Arab Emirates. 7,378 yards, par 72, four par fives, and as you mentioned, lots of drivable par fours. We've got some Challenge Tour form to consider. The 2016 and 2017 Ras Al Khaimah Challenge, the 2018 Challenge Tour Grand Final, and we've got four pieces of DP World Tour course form, the 2022 Ras Al Khaimah Classic and the 2022, 2023 and 2024 Ras Al Khaimah Championships. Sunny, warm and calm all 4 days, wide fairway, straightforward greens, a feast of birdies on the menu for the 138 hungry competitors.
Okay, right, let's have a look at the market. Now, we've not spoken before this show. There's definitely a chance you could be putting up the jolly for this event as well. So I'm very interested who we're going for here. We have got Thorbjørn Olesen at 12-1, Patrick Reed 20s, Ryan Fox 22s, Tom McKibben 22s, and then big prices the rest. How many in the team?
We've got five selections, Dave. One is currently 1,000 to 1 as we record this on Tuesday morning. As I say, it won't be broadcast till 7 p.m. on Tuesday. I think anything bigger than 200 to 1 is well worth having. So a speculative fifth selection.
Okay, right. We'll call it five. But who is the main selection then here?
Keita Nakajima, 22 to 1. One of the best young players in the world, a former world number one amateur, Dave. He was world number one amateur for 87 ruddy weeks. So this is a seriously former world number one amateur. He won on the Japan Tour when he was still an amateur in 2021. He's won four times on the Japan Tour. Then last year made a DP World Tour breakthrough in the Indian Open, a four-shot romp at the end of March. This is a 24-year-old with the world at his feet. I think a second DP World Tour triumph is coming on Sunday. Nakajima ended 2024 in fine fettle, finished 13th in the Abu Dhabi Championship, 7th in the DP World Tour Championship, then 4th in the Nippon Series Cup on the Japan Tour. Put the clubs away on December 1st, let his hair down over Christmas like you, Dave. Didn't return to action until last week for his Dubai Desert Classic debut. Bit of a tongue twister. He did well. He finished 21st on his Dubai Desert Classic debut. 21st, a solid return to action. Among all the fun we were having on Sunday with Tyrrell Hatton, easy to miss that Keita Nakajima signed off with a sensational albatross at the 18th hole day. You don't see many of them, do you? He made an albatross two on his 72nd hole. He holed out from 236 yards. Tommy Fleetwood was his playing partner on Sunday. Tommy Fleetwood would be well aware that they've got a serious player on their hands here. Keita Nakajima will become a member of the elite for my money. And this week, he can hit the ground running. Dubai Desert Classic debut this week. He's seen Al Hamra before. He played in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship 12 months ago. Opened slowly with a 72, getting to know the track. Then fired rounds of 66, 66, 67. 17 under par for his final 54 holes. He's by far the best bet on the Ras Al Khaimah Championship for me, Dave. And the Ludwig Auber, Keita Nakajima double is the sort of bet that I wake up in the middle of the night screaming with joy about. You know, just I haven't slept well the last couple of nights, Dave. Maybe it's just on my mind. I think this is a huge opportunity.
How long is he off the tee?
You're big boy. Yeah. For a Jap, yeah, not many of the Japanese are that, don't give it a healthy ride off the tee, but Keita Nakajima does. He's an attacking player, well suited to this course. I'm really quite excited about the career of Keita Nakajima. He's very devoted to the Japan Tour. I think he could have moved on much earlier, but he spent a lot of time on the Japan Tour.
I was going to ask you, is that a record? Was it 86 weeks as the world amateur number one? That's a long time.
87. I think it is a record, though. I think you're right.
Would be an expert on world amateur number one.
I got him tattooed on my arm. Where is he? Yeah. No, he's quality, Dave. And I think, I think the time has come for him to really step up a gear now. Yeah, I think he'll win loads of titles on DP World Tour, and then I think he'll progress to the PGA Tour eventually.
Okay, well, it's good to know that he can send it, because I think you need to at this golf course. Right, he's the main pick. Who's the next best?
The next best is Angel Yura. Sounds like a lap dancer you could fall in love with, Dave, but it is actually one of the most promising young golfers in the world. Yura turned pro at the end of 2023, was a Challenge Tour rookie last year, quickly established himself as too good for that circuit. One of the best Challenge Tour finishes last year came in the UAE, the UAE Challenge. He finished 9th in that. Then he won his first title in September. He was 2nd in the Challenge Tour Grand Final at the start of November. So it all happened so quickly for Angel Ayora. He won promotion to the DP World Tour. Then he was 6th in the Australian PGA on the DP World Tour at the end of November, 5th in the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa in December. Just looks pure class to me, Dave. A swing to die for. Looks the complete package. He's only 20, still improving. He's reportedly just turned down an offer from Liv. Liv come with the mega bucks, apparently. Tom McKibben couldn't resist the mega bucks. Angel Ayora has resisted the mega bucks. He knows he can make a mint through the conventional tours. So, yeah, I think he's gonna start 2025 with a bang.
And what sort of price are we looking at there?
40-1, Dave. Sorry, 40-1. Angel Ayora.
Definitely don't. After what you said originally, leave that. Just park that voice for a
it's
moment.
It's a great name, isn't it? What a name that is.
Right, yeah. Who else have we got in the team? We've got two more and a big price, right?
Wenyi Ding. 80-1, Wenyi Ding. You're having a laugh. I couldn't believe it. He's been shunted out to 80-1 this morning. This is a rising star of the sport. My Ras Al Khaimah staking plan comprises 4 improving young bucks. 3 of them are making their course debut this week, but Al Hamra is such a straightforward track. It's easy. It doesn't take much getting to know. Weather forecast is perfect. I don't have any fear about risking hard-earned cash on debutants this week. Ding got up to world number 3 amateur, Dave. He won some massive titles in his amateur career. He got a DP World Tour card through the Global Amateur Pathway standings. So he's a DP World Tour member. Magnificent College Golf got him that card. That Magnificent College Golf came at Arizona State, Dave. He's from Arizona State. So Ding cut his teeth as a desert golfer. That's the point. So he tees up in the Middle East desert this week, knowing he's extremely effective on this type of track. He turned pro as soon as he got that DP World Tour card. It was in October last year he turned pro. 6 of his 7 starts as a professional have banked a check. 5th place in the Australian Open, you might remember, Dave, when we were on him at juicy prices at the start of December. That was the highlight so far. He's been making solid course debuts since. I think another solid course debut is coming at Al Hamra. He's probably the best player to emerge from Arizona State since Phil Mickelson and John Rahm. He's one of the best Sun Devils we've seen.
Well, it has been, you know, that part of the world has churned them out. So big boots to fill. Big boots to fill. How old is he?
He's very young. He's 20 as well, I think. He's another young man. I've got four young bucks, and then I've got one. The last one is a more experienced campaigner.
Okay, but we've got two more to go. A big juicy price, right? Let's have the next one before we get the monster price.
Adrien Dumont de Chasseur. We got some great names this week, haven't we? We've got a staking plan full.
I hope you're not just playing the name game. You've gone some brilliant name golfers this week.
We have 90-1. Adrien Dumont de Chasseur, big hitting Belgium. His putting performance on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2023 was incredible. Hold everything. He's got the game to tear Al Hamra to shreds. He actually won his very first Korn Ferry Tour event in June 2023. He won that in a playoff. And then the following week, he got in another playoff. So he nearly won his first 2 Korn Ferry Tour events. So he lost that player. So form figures of 1, 2, 8, 6, 7, 10 in his first 6 Korn Ferry Tour starts. I remember he suddenly entered the Ryder Cup conversation that year. You know, I remember Bruce Millington being dumbfounded because he was Adrien Dumont de Chasseur was suddenly in the Ryder Cup qualification betting. But it was almost like it happened too quickly for him, Dave, because he moved to Florida. Everyone was expecting him just to become an instant PGA Tour star. He got his card so quickly. But his PGA Tour rookie campaign last year, it did not start well. 6th place in the Puerto Rico Open in March was the only decent check he banked early last year. His best form came really late, but too late to save his card. He finished 3rd in the Bermuda Championship in the middle of November, and he ended 2024 with 25th spot in the RSM Classic. So his career stalled a bit at the age of 24, but obviously still young, and Ras Al Khaimah Championship is a wonderful opportunity for him to get going again. I think, yes, his course debut, but I think it's going to suit him. And, I was surprised I could get 90-1.
I think it's a really interesting point about, you know, you've put up a couple of players that have never played there before, but it's some tracks obviously are ones that you can go at first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do get a bit worried. I don't often tip course debutants, but this track is so easy. I mean, you could pitch up there, Dave, start making birdies. If you opened your shoulders. So, it's a straightforward track. And I think these young guns are going to tear into it straight away.
I'm not sure I could send it quite as far as some of these lads.
I thought you were going to try.
We're going to see. We talked about an albatross last week. I think this is a runner we'll see one this week.
Absolutely. You could see an albatross one this week, couldn't you? Some of those par fours are drivable to the big boys. So maybe we'll see an albatross one from Kaito Nakajima. That'll get our juices flowing, wouldn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what else will get our juices flowing. A nice big price winner, a monster price winner that you've promised us. Four figures at the time of recording at 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And who is it?
Yes, 1,000 to 1 is available as we speak. I've not gone near it because I don't want anyone to miss out on this 1,000 to 1. It's a price that I think doesn't make a great deal of sense. I think it's disrespecting this player. And it's gorgeous George Katsia. Gorgeous George Katsia, a proven desert fox, a 5-time DP World Tour champion. This is a player who finished 7th in the 2015 USPGA. Class act at his best. He's 38 years of age now, Dave. The bookies have clearly given up on him. I'm not prepared to give up on gorgeous George Katsia. He's had wrist problems, you see, Dave. He had a torn ligament. He had to have 16 months off. Surgery was required, and then wrist problems obviously take ages to get over. But the layoff came at a good time. He doesn't look at the layoff as a negative because he became a father in that time, Dave. His daughter Emma. So he spent all that time with his daughter Emma, watched her grow up, and now he's back and his competitive juices are flowing. He wants to get back to his old level. Obviously going to take time, Dave. We've got to be patient with him. He returned to action in August last year. This will be his 12th tournament back, easing his way into it, testing the wrist. So far, so good health-wise. He even played in the Dunhill Links Championship, Dave, in the freezing Scotland, which really tested the wrist out. Came through that. So the wrist is holding up. Now it's time to rediscover his A game. Back-to-back rounds of 73 in Dubai last week, Dave. I think that's encouraging. He missed the cut by 2 shots, but nothing worse than a bogey on his scorecard. He ended up on the same score as John Rahm. He's in a lower grade event this week. Easy course. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the moment where Katsia starts having some fun again. Yeah, bear in mind, this is a lad who's twice finished second in the Qatar Masters. He's finished 4th and 6th in the Abu Dhabi Championship. 5th and 7th in the Dubai Desert Classic. He loves this region. Is our Hamra form figures a 27, 9, 36. He's always been a great putter, Dave. I could see him making a mockery of 1,000 to 1. And if it's still out there when this broadcast is screened, then gobble it all up. Get as many places as you can, obviously. That sort of price, we need to be looking for as many places as possible. Yeah, I think anything better than 200 to 1, well worth an investment.
Lovely. I love that. Four figures. With a price like that, that price tends to drive a lot of the other derivative markets to make the cut, top 20. I mean, this is a player that we could probably have a few bets to make the cut. Probably be a decent price, would he?
I don't know whether they'll price him up to make the cut, but top 20, certainly, Dave. No, I mean, top 40 will be available with some firms. Depends how much enthusiasm that the layers have. They can't be relied upon always to have enough get up and go. But I think top 20 will
obviously be. These sorts of prices, we don't have to have a lot on, do we? These sorts of prices, monster prices.
Top 20, Dave, absolutely. I'm glad you said that because I sometimes I can be accused of being too ambitious. And I probably wouldn't have had the top 20 bet unless you'd mentioned it there. So, yeah, I get as many places as you can. Each way, 12 places is available with one firm. And have your top 20 bet and enjoy the ride. Because there's only 138 players. It's a very strange field size. So if we can get a top 20 out of 138 players at an enormous price, then we're laughing our socks off. Gorgeous George has got ability. This is a weak event. It's an easy course. I think Dave Clark could get top 20 on this course with the, I don't actually. But George could see a can.
You've lost your head. 1,000 to 1, you've lost your head. Well, yeah, let's talk about some of the big dogs at the top of the market then. I thought you might have gone for Olesen.
Yeah, you were sensing an Aubert Olesen double, weren't you? Thunderbear is one of my favourites, but I don't think there's anything in the price. Cruise to glory last year, but 74-74 over the weekend of the Dubai Desert Classic. You know, that is a not a very confidence-boosting weekend going into this. And the price just didn't excite me. No, I think Kaito Nakajima 22-1 much better than Thorborn at almost half that.
Okay, any other players to note at the top of the market? Your man McKibbin's in there, 22s.
Yeah, McKibbin played all right last week, didn't he? But no, he's not for me. Let's have a look at the shortlist. I think again, I was happy with my lot. No, absolutely not. No, I'm glad you asked that, Dave, because there's sometimes when you don't ask that, and then there was my next name like bang in there, and I'm thinking, oh, why didn't Dave ask? But this particular week, I've backed everyone that came close. Apart from
marvelous. Right, let's have a roundup then. We've got two events this week. We're at the Farmers Insurance Open first, and remind us of who you like here.
Ludwig Aubert, Will Zalatoris, and Taylor Pendrith.
Okay, and the Razao Hyman Championship.
Kaito Nakajima, Angel Ayora, Wenyi Ding, Adrien Dumont de Chasseur, and George Katsia.
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous. He's gorgeous, isn't he?
Before we go, I wanted to ask you about the Arrows. What's been going on? Because we were talking about draws and all sorts, weren't we, before?
Yeah. Well, Luke Littler didn't get the draw I was after. He got the worst possible draw in my eyes. So, yeah, I didn't play Luke Littler because Gerwin Price knocked him out in the quarterfinals. I played Luke Humphreys and was pretty heartbroken. I played Luke Humphreys each way. And he lost in the semi-finals to Stephen Bunting, who went on to win the Bahrain Darts Masters. So, yeah, the darts didn't get off to a good start, but it could have been worse if I'd gone with Littler.
If you're going to get beat by anyone, the Bullet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was heartwarming to see the Bullet doing well, isn't he? He's such a good egg. Did you know he's the same age as Cristiano Ronaldo? I saw someone told me that the other day. Yeah. If you look at Cristiano Ronaldo and Stephen Bunting, you the same age. But
slightly contrasting lifestyles, I fancy there. I've seen many a viral video of him down the motorway chugging on a Greg sausage roll.
No, exactly. But yeah, we've got a darts tournament this weekend, the Dutch Darts Masters, I think it's called. So we'll have another go. But the golf is our focus. Golf is what we're good at. Let's make golf great again.
Less indeed. There was I sent you the video a little bit earlier on. Wonderful scenes of Trump. I think he was throwing pens out into the crowd, and someone put the darts music over the top of it, and it looked like he'd just won a sort of best of 12 on a Premier League night, and he was throwing his flights into the crowd. It's wonderful scenes to have Donald back at the helm.
Absolutely. No, it was a big day for Trump yesterday, wasn't it? And the Trump snooker didn't go quite to plan.
No, very disappointed. But the long-term project is, of course, Sheffield. So just keep backing him.
Yeah. No, he's all class. Now, the winners of Flow, Dave. Let's enjoy 2025 as if it's the last year on Earth.
Okay. Hopefully it won't be. Thank you for watching. Do remember to get involved. Like, comment and subscribe. Let us know who you're backing this week. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.